Welcome to the Dr. Berg's Healthy Keto and Intermittent Fasting Podcast, where Dr. Berg takes you on the journey for the truth about getting healthy and losing healthy weight.
So once again, this guy doesn't need any introduction, so we'll just let him dive right in. Welcome, Dr. Eric Berg.
Good morning. Real quick, I want to clarify one little point about yesterday. Sometimes you may find little differences within the speakers. You know, there's not everyone agrees on every single thing. We agree on the main stuff. So I want to just clarify one little thing because there's a confusion. Keto, the whole keto program is on a gradient from here to here. When people watch my videos, you got people from every single different walk of life, viewpoint, awareness. Not everyone is going to wear, you know, silver line underwear or get a tent to protect them against the EMF right off the bat. Also, when you're talking about keto, if I mention, oh yeah, you have to get grass-fed, you have to go to the farmer's market, you have to grow your own vegetables, they're gonna look at you like, are you kidding? So you gotta start somewhere. So if someone has to start dirty keto, go for it. But you can always improve on it. So my version of healthy keto is like just taking it to the next level. But the benefit of low carb, just in general, is huge. Okay? All right. All right, I want to continue here. Vitamin D, immunity, we're talking about the relationship between nutrients and protecting your genes and your DNA and how important that is in reducing the complications. But if you actually lower the carb and add the nutrient, you can really protect your genes. So I've already went through this slide. Vitamin D deficiency can lead to depression because it's involved in so many neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine, things like that. Asthma, kids that get more sun, they get less asthma symptoms. Adrenal fatigue, higher amounts of vitamin D can help. Why? Because vitamin D helps to build up cortisol. Cortisol is an anti-inflammatory and it's involved in adrenal. Skin problems, psoriasis, vitamin D works great. And it's one of the best anti-inflammatories, especially if you have like chronic pain or even my mom. She came to me, she says, I need an adjustment, low back pain. I says, let's give you some vitamin D within probably, a day, boom, gone. Back pain works great. Autoimmune, essential vitamin D, because vitamin D is an immune modulator, controls the immune system. Sleep problems, vitamin D helps shut down the certain centers that can't keep you awake, so it can get you into a deeper delta wave sleep. Low immunity, chronic pain. But vitamin D acts, a low vitamin D acts as a vasoconstrictor, causing high blood pressure. Vitamin D is a really great thing for high blood pressure. There's a condition called essential hypertension. Another name for that is primary hypertension. Another name is idiopathic, which means unknown cause, hypertension. Essential hypertension, they don't know what caused it. 95% of all high blood pressure is essential hypertension. They don't know what caused it. African Americans usually have higher rates of getting high blood pressure, and they also have more deficiencies of vitamin D. My viewpoint is it's because what happens, the darker the skin, the less you can absorb the sunlight and get vitamin D. I mean, it's kind of like a no-brainer. It's like, oh, it's obvious. So it's very difficult, almost impossible, to get your vitamin D from food. It's just not enough. So either you're gonna get sun or you're gonna have to take it another way. Vitamin D also, lack of vitamin D will stiffen your arteries. And if you have high blood pressure, sometimes to reverse that stiffness could take up to a year. So don't give up after a week of trying it. Vitamin D is also associated with deep vein thrombosis if you're deficient. Interesting. Also, if you're low in vitamin D, it can cause the burning throat because it's involved in the digestive system and also the production of acid. So you might not produce enough acid, and then the valve doesn't close because they're synced, and then the acid goes up here and it starts to affect your vocal cords. You can even get hoarseness or have this kind of cough. That was a demonstration. Okay. This is interesting. The Spanish flu, 1918, killed 50 to 100 million people. It's a pandemic. This is really weird. Where did this come from? Just out of the blue, you get this virus thing, it's just a pan, it's worldwide? That's weird. When you evaluate someone in a clinic, one of the most important things to ask is, what happened just before you got this problem? Because if you look, what happened right before the Spanish flu? Anyone know what happened? What occurred? World War I, which occurred 1914. So for 4 years, we had this war. Let me get the Spanish flu worldwide. What if there's a connection? Well, there was a huge shift in what people ate, both at home and also the military. Everything was preserved. They had to do canned foods. They restrict different foods. And so also transportation shifted. So everything had to preserve the foods. When you preserve the foods, you drop nutrition. You create nutritional deficiencies. Eat more cottage cheese. You'll need less meat. So there's a huge shift. Canned foods, by the way, deplete your zinc by 89%. I wonder if there's a connection. There might be. But yeah, everything was canned. And zinc is a little bit important in the immune system. But the question is, what month did this Spanish flu occur in 1918? And what would be the worst month to experience a vitamin D deficiency? January. Spanish flu occurred January, just at the heart of most vitamin D deficiencies, because 80 to 100% of people are deficient in at certain points of life or certain seasons. Okay, so you get this low vitamin D, it makes you susceptible to getting viruses and things like that, and then there's a whole cascade of things that occurred. Check this out. During the winter months, people with MS, irritable bowel disease, have relapses more than any other time of the year. Could there be a connection? Remember, vitamin D is an anti-inflammatory, helps the immune system. You have upper respiratory tract infections increase majorly during the winter months, but MS, that's autoimmune, you get aggravations and you get people just develop these autoimmune conditions more in the winter than other times of the year. Interesting. Epstein-Barr virus comes out of remission more during the winter months. Rhinoviruses, rotaviruses come out of remission, bacterial infections. So there's a huge connection. Even babies that are born certain times of the year have more risk for MS, ulcerative colitis, gestational diabetes. Interesting. So these vitamin deficiencies can weaken your system down the road. Spanish flu. The mortality was driven by two overlapping things. Early severe acute respiratory distress, it's called ARDS. Didn't we just see that as a symptom of vitamin D deficiency? And aggressive bacterial pneumonia superinfection. In other words, these people that died from Spanish flu didn't die of the virus, they died of a bacterial infection, and also their lungs were filling with fluid and they were drowning in their own fluid, couldn't breathe. Interesting. Salicylates, aspirin, causes immediate lung toxicity and may predispose to bacterial infection by increasing lung fluid and protein levels and impaired the mucus clearing. Back then, they didn't know the toxicity of aspirin. Some doctors were giving 1,300 milligrams every hour for 12 hours straight. There's side effects from that. It can cause pulmonary edema, this aspirin. Also, Bayer, the company Bayer from Bayer Aspirin, they ran out of their patents just before that. And everyone and their brother actually jumped on the bandwagon to actually produce aspirin. So you had this real push to help this infection. They didn't know at the time until later. So we got the aspirin, which toxicity really killed people with the bacterial infection, and then the low immune system is all kind of a perfect storm. I was just going to show you that up to 100% of the entire population can display inadequate vitamin D levels. Let me read it. At certain latitudes, depending on where you're living and the season. Now, people in the north, if they consume a lot of, like in Alaska or something, if they eat more salmon, they get the vitamin D, right? Well, I'll just mention this shortly. Polymorphism, you'll hear more about this. This is kind of a variant of a gene. And a lot of people have this. If you do the 23andMe test, you can get what type of variation you have, whether it's something with nutrition, you might have a problem absorbing folic acid or folate, or it could be the conversion of ALA to EPA or DHA, or inactive vitamin D to D3, or beta carotene to retinol. So you could have these little weaknesses, and you can have a deficiency from this genetic level, which means you just need to take more. A lot of people have a problem with this variation to the vitamin D receptor, and that's why they're deficient. I mean, I think my guess is probably 40-50%. So if you're deficient to some degree, if you don't take enough, you could be always deficient. And that could be what's underneath your inflammation. Zinc, vital, vital, vital. 2 billion people are deficient. Zinc is involved in DNA and RNA synthesis. It's necessary in the breakdown of amyloid plaquing. That's that buildup of that misfolded protein that gets stuck in your brain. Involved in the body's antioxidant network. The body does not store zinc for too long. It's a coenzyme involved in 1,000 different enzymes through your body, so it's very, very important. Most zinc in the brain is in this structure called the hippocampus. What is the hippocampus? I forgot to set my timer thing, so can you let me know when a half hour is done, because I'm going to bring this gentleman. What's that? I think I start a little bit later. Can you let me know? Okay, because I forgot to set my timer. All right, so hippocampus is the structure of the brain that's involved in memory and learning, okay? So if you're a vegan consuming a lot of bread and pasta and that type of thing, you're gonna get, especially if it's whole grain, because in the bran, you have this chemical called phytate or phytic acid that blocks zinc. So you're going to deplete the zinc. This is one of the reasons why people in Pakistan, India, have a major zinc deficiency, especially kids and women that are pregnant, because of this fact of eating way too much whole grain or refined grain. This is interesting. Rats that were fed zinc resisted damage from carbon tetrachloride. That's one of the most potent liver toxins. That was in the flame retardant, the fire extinguishers. I don't think they use it as much, it's still in the environment, but it's in a lot of environmental different chemicals. So if you have a pet gerbil or a mouse as a pet, make sure that you give them zinc. Zinc deficiencies can lower cortisol, which is related to inflammation. Birth control pills deplete zinc. Insulin is bound to zinc, so if you want to speed up insulin resistance and get overcoming that, zinc would be a good thing to consume. 99% of zinc is inside the cell, not outside the cell. That's why it's hard to find it. Zinc is really, really important if you're pregnant because it can affect the future health of your child. It's involved with blood sugars, immune system, hair loss, alopecia, scaly skin, all types of skin problems, acne, eczema, dermatitis, diarrhea. But diarrhea then can cause zinc deficiency. Did you guys know that diarrhea was a genetic disorder? It was a gene, it's hereditary, did you know that? Yeah, it runs in your genes. Sorry, I had to throw that in there to wake you guys up. Zinc is really connected to low testosterone levels as well. It can affect a lot of things. Delayed healing wounds. So if you have an ulcer in your stomach, for example, or your small intestine, zinc is the remedy because it protects against the ulcers. I'm trying to show you the connection. If you actually get these nutrients in the diet, you bulletproof yourself with so many problems, even if you have a disease. Okay, mental lethargy, depression is connected to that hippocampus in the brain. Okay, if you have a GI surgery, gastric bypass, watch your zinc levels, start taking more trace minerals, antibiotics, diuretics, ulcerative colitis, because if you have an inflammation in your gut or an ulcer, you're not going to absorb these nutrients. So that is a barrier of absorption. So here you are eating a good diet, but it's not going in because the gut's not allowing it to be absorbed. Diabetes, vegan diet, phytase, we talked about that, liver disease. These are all other ways that you're not getting your nutrients. Here's some of the best zinc foods. Seafood, oysters, top of the list. Beef, lamb, pumpkin seeds, eggs. So I'm rating these nutrients based on what I think is the most important. Vitamin D is the most important. Zinc is number two. DHA is number three. DHA is a type of omega-3 fatty acid. And it's involved in brain. Vital to grow an infant's brain. You don't have, because it's involved in the structure of that brain. So if you're pregnant again, you better be taking cod liver oil and some of the other foods for the DHA. It's also really good for your eye and the heart. So if you want good vision, DHA is what you need to do. And basically the eye is part of the brain. It's an extension. You have part of your brain sticking out of your eye. Okay, so an abundance of DHA is in seafood, which a lot of people don't consume enough of. So how many of you want a larger brain? Okay, start getting more seafood. It might not be able to fit in your cranium, but... all right, herring, salmon, mackerel, tuna, sardines, trout, oysters, mussels, clams, crabs, lobster. When you're doing keto, these are some foods that you might want to start eating more of, okay? Sometimes when people do keto, they're focused just on low carb, and they might be doing just like a certain couple of foods, but they're not adding the seafood in there. Magnesium, involved in a lot of problems. Most people are deficient. At the heart of chlorophyll, you have magnesium. So magnesium is in the greens, anything green, not lime green jello, but everything else but green. It's involved in over 400 enzymes. It's necessary to making ATP, your energy. It's involved in the repair process, DNA systems. It affects your muscles, nerves, protein synthesis. Here's some dark leafy greens. Here's some examples right here, seeds, nuts, avocado, and tahini butter, that's sesame seed. These are, and I'm showing you just pictures of top magnesium foods. Now, does anyone want these slides? Okay. Not everyone, but just a few. Now, I want to send everyone all the slides of all the presentations. And then also, which I'm going to get Jacqueline's as well, and I'll include that. And then I'll also send you all the videos, a link with all the videos. So just check your email. And we'll have that to you on Monday. Jared, can we get that Monday? Get everything edited? Now give us a couple weeks. Yeah, give us a couple weeks. How much time do I have? Ooh, okay. Okay, folate. Very, very important. Folate's involved in protecting you against breaks of your DNA and your genes. If you don't have enough folate, you're going to get a lot of damage in the DNA and you can't repair it. So that's what sets you up for cancer and a lot of other issues. So it's involved in making DNA and turning genes on and off. This is called the epigenetics, above genetics. Where do you get folate? Well, it comes from the Latin word, or actually the Greek, right? Because everything comes from Greek. Folate or foliage, which means leaf, because it's in the dark leafy greens. You can also get it from beef liver. Okay, but you also get it from eggs a little bit, but dark leafy greens, and especially asparagus. Selenium is the next one on the list. Vital, vital, vital. Plays a critical, important role as an antioxidant, protecting the DNA, reproduction, thyroid, converting T4 to T3. And also, it's such a powerful antioxidant. It helps in autoimmune Hashimoto's. And by the way, over 90% of hypothyroidism is the Hashimoto's version of the type. That's autoimmune. That's interesting. So we're getting a lot of oxidation because we're getting a buildup of hydrogen peroxide. And that's you've taken hydrogen peroxide on a wound, it just fizzes up. It's a real strong oxidant. And so selenium helps to counter that. So Hashimoto's, you should be taking that or consume the food that has it as well. Also, people are concerned about the mercury in the fish. If you have enough, I think it's the next slide. Yeah, if you have enough selenium in that fish, that seafood, it'll counter the mercury. Okay, so you can see down here that the worst fish to consume would be the pilot whale and the shark, because you can see that it has higher amounts of mercury than selenium. But look at the tuna, the skipjack tuna off the scale. So you don't have to be that concerned about the mercury if you have enough selenium. Selenium is in the Brazil nuts, right? But you also get it in tuna, the fish, eggs, sardines, halibut, sunflower seeds, meat, spinach. Iodine, massively important for pregnant women. If your child is deficient, well, if the mother is deficient in iodine at birth, they can have a couple problems. The IQ goes down by 12 points, and also it affects the hearing. Iodine is connected to the hearing system in the brain, and you can have problems with that. The thyroid gets the lion's share of iodine, but it's also involved in brain function and myelin, and also that IQ thing. So anyone want to raise your IQ? Make sure you're taking a little iodine from the foods, or you can get it from sea kelp. Iodine-deficient animals have impaired ability to generate ketones. Interesting. So again, if you have the pets and things, make sure they're having enough iodine. It's never been tested in humans. Okay, eggs have iodine, sardines, seafood. We keep coming back to this seafood thing, right? Sea kelp, scallops. Okay, B12, I'm going through this rapidly. B12 is very important. If you're deficient, you can have a couple problems, actually a lot of problems. You can have anemia, okay? Because you have this thing in your stomach called the intrinsic factor that delivers the B12 down to the intestines where it's absorbed, the lower part. And what happens, if you don't have enough stomach acid, you're not gonna break off that B12 from the protein part of B12, because it comes with a protein. And what's gonna happen, it's not gonna be absorbed because you don't have enough stomach acid. So B12 can cause anemia, but really the big problem more than that is neurological problems. If you're deficient in B12, you can have severe, sharp, stabbing pain in your body, neurological problems that you cannot reverse. It can create serious problems with the nervous system. Here we go, animal foods, clams, fish, cheese, beef, liver, eggs. Now, what I did is I got some great information from another book, which I don't have the reference with me, but I'll have to include it in the slides when I send it to you. But if we take all the different nutrients in different foods, especially to support the things that I'm talking about here, and these like iodine, iron, zinc, selenium, and copper, shellfish is at the top of the list. I think you guys should be consuming more shellfish. Sometimes people are concerned because of the cholesterol, right? Yeah. No, don't worry about that. So what I'm going to recommend is these foods, a little bit more of these foods when you're on the keto. It's going to make it healthier. Does anyone like shellfish? But the key thing is you have to dip it in butter, all right? So crab, crayfish, and then we have the clams, the mussels, the scallops, lobster, if you're going to have to do it, you got to do it. It's for your health. Wellness meats. Beef liverwurst. They have a great product, and it's actually a mixture of grass-fed beef, liver, heart, and kidney. Oh my gosh, organ meats. This is I can't consume liver, so this is how I get my liver, but a little bit of each week is really good. So this is a great product, high quality, Wellness Meats has some great stuff. Additional key foods I'd recommend, salmon, wild-caught salmon, DHA. And by the way, all the shellfish have not only those trace minerals, but it's loaded with DHA. So it's really, really key. And then we got the pasture-raised eggs. Not the pasteurized eggs. Pasture-raised organic eggs are definitely better than commercial eggs. Olives, olive oil, grass-fed cheese, avocados, asparagus, and dark leafy greens. Again, I'm trying to show you the healthy version of keto that I recommend. And because all these the vegetables that you consume have more phytonutrients. Do I have 5 minutes? Okay. Phytonutrients give you those additional benefits that go way beyond just the vitamins and minerals. They're powerful antioxidants because of all the free radicals. So you get those as a benefit. And don't have time to get too much into it, but they're very, very powerful. The cruciferous vegetables. Really, really important. Green tea, and the list goes on and on, because they activate all these proteins to help in anti-inflammatory conditions, or anti-inflammatory properties, and also cancer. Now we know why, because of the powerful antioxidant. Now some of those speakers mentioned this concept of hormesis, okay? And I want to just explain what that is. That is a kind of a state where you're adding a little stress to the body to make it stronger. Won't kill you, will make you stronger. Isn't there something about that? So there's a lot of things that you can do to increase the strength of your body, as well as the buildup of antioxidants in the body. So exercise, for example, will build up your antioxidant reserve. So exercise is one. Fasting, you're starving the body, and the body adapts to that by becoming stronger. Phytonutrients, some of those are like pesticides in the vegetable family. That can actually strengthen your system. So a little bit of poison now and then is not that bad. Temperature going into heat or cold to a certain degree, a little bit, will actually stimulate your body to become stronger. Even toxins, even this explains why some people, like in different European countries, they drink alcohol, like with meals, like wine, right? They get the polyphenols, and they actually don't seem to have a problem with that. I'm not recommending that, but I'm just saying that that potentially could be the reason why they're not having a problem, because they're, first of all, don't overdo it, and they, a second, I'm a little bit thirsty, just a second here. They don't overdo it, and they basically, and slowly it could help them. Give me one more minute. I was thirsty. So you have, if you have a little bit of it and you can keep it below like a gallon a day, no, I'm just kidding. Now, a little bit of radiation, believe it or not, will help build up your body, hypoxia, and free radicals. So you're here you are like, there's all these different types of exercise where you're actually cutting up blood supply and you're exercising, you're just trying to build up the body. But anyway, free radicals can help that. Lastly, just to summarize everything up, you need stomach acid to break down protein. So most people over the age of 50 have low stomach acid. This is why the apple cider vinegar, betaine hydrochloride to absorb those nutrients, especially protein. When you consume meats and things, realize that you might be absorbing them, but you're not utilizing and turning those into proteins 100%. Maybe if you're lucky, about 36 to 40%, unless you're eating egg, which is 48%. Egg is the best absorbable protein. And these other proteins are wasted either to turn into fuel or to go out through the urine. And if you have low stomach acid, this could be the reason why you are not, you're protein deficient. And I have about 10 more slides that I'm gonna send you. But on that note, I need to bring up my next speaker, which is kind of a little guest. His name is Nicholas. He's from Greece. And he basically ran an he did the Ironman, okay? And the reason I wanna bring him up, because there's an incredible story. He's like one of the only guys who just doesn't do the glucose thing every hour. Most of these athletes consume like 100 grams of glucose an hour. He had no glucose. He was doing with coconut oil and water. 6.5 hours? So let's bring him up.
Hey guys, I just want to let you know I have my new keto course just came out. It's a mini course. It covers all the basics and how to do it correctly. You can get through this in probably 20 minutes at the very most. So if you're interested, click the link below and get signed up now.